thank and praise you for the beauty of the day now that you've given to us. And we thank you for this day that you set aside where we come to worship you and learn about you. And we just ask now, Lord, that you would quiet our hearts, that you would keep our minds fixed upon you, that your Spirit would just teach us here today, Father, the things that we have here in this lesson. And we just ask, Father, that we need you, we need your help, we need the power of your Spirit, and we need you to enlighten us. This is your day that you have made, as you always say in your word. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and we praise you for it. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of this day, just for everything about it. We ask for your guidance, for your direction now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a lady that had two sons. She couldn't take care of them. She couldn't, I shouldn't say she couldn't take care of them. She just couldn't get them to straighten out. They were bad, really bad. Sort of like the help boys were when they were younger, you know. But anyhow, I was talking to your dad yesterday again, so. But anyhow, she tried to do everything she possibly could to take these two kids and to get them to straighten out. She read books. She had all kinds of books she read on child rearing and the different aspects of that. She tried to get on the internet, and she read different things. And she just didn't know what to do. She couldn't get these kids to straighten out, these two boys, and they were pretty bad. And so what she did was she was talking to a friend of hers, and her friend said, you know, my boys were the same way till I had them talk to my pastor. She said, really? He said, yeah, I had them talk to my pastor, and once he talked to them, he said, they straightened right out. She said, I couldn't believe it. She said, well, who is this? And so she found out who this guy was, and she called him up and made an appointment. Well, the day came for the appointment, and she took the boys in, and she took them both into this pastor. Now, he just must have got out of a service because he still had his robe and all his stuff on yet. And you know, these boys, they were just kind of looking at him weird, you know, seeing him with this robe and stuff on, and they couldn't figure out and understand what was going on here. So she left the older boy in with the pastor, and she took the younger boy out and put him in the waiting room for his turn to come in. And she went out and sat in the car. Well, the older boy was he was sitting in there, and the pastor started out with him. He said, "Where is God?" And this boy looks at him so weird, and he thinks. And the pastor could see, and he said he wasn't answering him or anything, so the pastor decided, you know, I'm going to be a little more firmer here. He says, where is God? And the boy is just sitting there dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. And this pastor looks at him, and he's seen that, and he says, now I'm going to be firm. So he says to him, where is God? And the boy got up, he went out, he grabbed his brother and said, let's get out of here. They're trying to pin this on us. They lost God, he said. And so he left. So sometimes, you know, whenever you're raising your kids and you think that you're having a tough time, just think about it a little bit, you know, and we'll go on for there. Okay. We have here, go to Colossians chapter 3. I started out last week. I'm trying to show you that if you're going to raise children, you yourself, and this is where I first started, where I'm first starting off here, I think you yourself have to be right yourself. It's just like I told you, kids will follow after you. Whatever you do, that's what they will do. And everybody has seen this already in your lives. I mean, us older people and you younger ones, I know you've seen it. You're seeing it in your lives right now. But we have to have ourselves straightened out. And the pastor went over this. I'm not teaching you nothing new here, what the pastor did or anything like that there. All I'm trying to show you is how the Holy Spirit showed me that this is where I should start out and this is where we should go, because we need to be right before we can get into what we're going to be talking about, the child rearing. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's what we're going to be getting into, the heart itself. And you know, your heart has to be right yourself if you want to raise your kids. You can't be talking out both sides of your mouth. You got to live what you're teaching them. If you're telling them, don't do as I do as I say, you might as well forget that philosophy. It's not going to work. You know, you've got to be right yourself. Whatever you teach them, you have to do. So we started off here. We only got a few verses done. I'm going to just read them again here. Chapter 3, 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He says, you're risen with Christ now, okay? You're a changed person. You know, you are changed. And you're to seek the things of above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He tells us there that where Christ is, that we're to seek those things. Christ lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And you're to let the Holy Spirit teach you these things. That's why he says there in verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So he tells them here, you know, to be setting, where to set your affections, you know, where to be setting your things. We're not to be seeking out things here in this earth, but we're to be seeking things above, you know, because that's where we're going to spend eternity. This small time that you're here in this earth, is this small life, is nothing compared to what it's going to be in eternity. And so that's why while we're here, we're to seek those things that are above. And we had gone over a bunch of verses. I'm not going to go over them again or anything. Verse 3 there. He says here, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead now. That old man, that old nature is supposed to be dead. You're crucified with Christ, as the Bible tells us. And we're to seek those things above. Like he said, set your affections on things above and not on the earth. Set your affections on them. And like he said there, for you're dead. You're dead. That means the old man is dead. The old man's gone. Okay, verse 4 here now, that's where we left off, we're going to pick it up. He says, when Christ, who is our life, you see who our life's supposed to be? You see who we're supposed to be living for? You know, forget about these things out here in this earth. Forget about some of this stuff, you know. Yes, you're going to deal with it, but, you know, just turn it over to God. Turn it over to Christ. Turn it over with him. He says, he's our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know, we're to appear with him. Christ gives us that power. He's the one that gives us that power to live now. You know, he gives us that hope for the future. You know, we have a hope. You know, it's just like faith. Hope and faith, I think, are the same thing. You know, you can't see it. You can't see it. And it's good that you can't see it, you know. Once you see it, then you know. But you don't know, so you have that hope, you have that faith, you know. And it's for the future that we're supposed to have. You know, this faith and hope that we're to live in Christ. Yes, he's going to return again, and we're going to appear with him, you know, as he's saying there. So that's what he's talking about there. He says that. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we have taught these young kids back here that, you know, these young kids, I think they're grasping that. They can grasp that, you know. Why can't we grasp that? Why can't these, when we tell these people out here, you know, that we talk to, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to get no place without going through Jesus Christ. The pastor preaches that constantly all the time. He's 100% right on it. There's just a real simple verse that you can tell the people out here, you know, that it has to be through Christ. Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, crystal or clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see that we're going to see that also ourselves. And chapter 22, verse 14 of Revelation, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So it's everything's about Christ. This word of God's about Christ. And that's what he's trying to say. You can't teach your children unless you yourself are right with Christ. You know, how can you teach your children about Christ if you're not right yourself? You have to be. And we got to be dead, as he said there, for that. Okay, verse 5. Now, he says, mortify, therefore, your members. What's mortify mean? Anybody else? Mortify means to put to death, to subdue, to abase, to humble, to reduce, to restrain as inordinate passions. So mortify here, he's saying, put it to death. Destroy it. And what's he telling you to destroy there? What's he telling you to mortify? He says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That's you. That's your mind. That's you yourself, you know. That's your own spirit. Let the Spirit of God take over. Mortify these things, he says. Humble yourself. Restrain yourself, you know. So you got to do these things. He says, destroy it. Destroy these things is what he tells us. Mortify, therefore, your members, he's saying about. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And what happens to many Christians today? They're still serving sin. And the Bible talks against it. You can't serve sin and try and want your kids to turn out right if you're serving sin. We can't do that. We just can't do that. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. He says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live through the Spirit and do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You're going to live. You know, you're going to live with Christ. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And I want to tell you what, you read that a lot. Paul tells Ephesians, Colossians, you know, Galatians, and all these people that he dealt with, you don't have no inheritance in Christ. There's something important there. There's a reason he says that, you know. All these things that he's mentioning here, you don't have an inheritance if you're amongst them. He says in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You wonder why things aren't going right? You wonder why sometimes that you just don't feel that peace that you had inside? Check it out. Check yourself out. Check your heart out. Check to see if there's something going on. Check to see if you're serving some kind of a sin. And sometimes you don't know it. You know, sometimes you don't know it. But there's times where you do know that you're serving the sin. But, you know, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will just show you. That's what's neat about it. You know, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, whoa, 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 what are you doing here? And I'm going to go over some of this stuff here in a minute, but you're going to do that.
I guess I'm just going to ask for prayer in this area because, like, and I'm pretty sure probably for any other mothers in here, but, like, it's very difficult. I got 7 children on it. I got this one needs to go to the bathroom. I'm trying my words constantly. And so, I mean, it's like last week I sat in here, like, man. And then through the week this week, you know, it's just like, I'm sure everybody else in here that has little kids is in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. Getting saved was your easiest part that you ever did. From that time on, it shouldn't be, but it's work for each one of us. Each one of us. It's a work that we've got to just, you know, you've got to be always conscious. And that's what I'm going to show you here in a bit. You've got to be always conscious of the things that's happening around you. And are they going to work out all the time? How? Yes, I understand. How can they sometimes? You all of a sudden, you get frustrated. Men, don't tell me you don't get frustrated at work too. These ladies are going through plenty enough with all these kids. But you get frustrated at work too. Don't bring that home to the wife, because she's just going through all them frustrations. You just heard some of them that they go through. Don't bring that home to the wife yet. Besides, you're the one that's the head of the family. You're the one that's to support her. It's you. You to support them kids and stuff also. You got, you know, and you've got to help her work these things out, just like you have to work it out at work too. See, this is what got me going here. I came here with a bad attitude on a Wednesday night, and the preacher didn't know it. And all of a sudden, he hits Colossians here. And when we get down here to verse 8, you know, this is where it just hit me between the eyes. You know, oh, you got a bad attitude, huh? Okay, Dean, he was preaching right to me. He said, okay, he might as well said, okay, Dean. You know, and, you know, but I'll show you that here. But yes. Like I say, getting saved was the easiest part. From that time on, man, oh man, it is not easy. It is tough. And then it seems like there's times, and I'm positive you've gone through it too. I have lots of times. The devil seems to work overtime on you, putting these sins and stuff out there in front of you. And then what are you going to do about it? It is not easy. I agree with you. And you're right, we should be praying for one another for this. That definitely. It's not easy. Not easy at all. So we see here he says we're to destroy this, we're to put it to death, you know. These members of that we have. We're to mortify these members. We should consider ourselves dead, like I said, and unresponsive to evil desires, you know, impurity, lustful desires, and even materialism. You know, we can get caught up in materialism so easy, it's unreal. Ben.
He's already done the work. And yes, it's free. It's free. The grace is free in order to not lose my temper at June or Janelle. Okay. But there's got to be some definite consciousness, like you're saying, and reckoning that my focus is on the Savior, not on me controlling myself. Because I can't. Mm-hmm. As to, wait a minute, well, I got to do it this way, but I can't. It's got to be Christ doing it through me. There's got to be a faith, a focal point. And instead of trusting, I preach that, but I'll struggle with it as sure as I'm in a situation.
I know it's difficult, and the pastor kind of made it more difficult to me last week when he preached his message, you know, because he said, you know, basically, you know, we shouldn't be trying. We should just be depending upon the Spirit of God to do this, you know. And that isn't an easy thing for us, you know, depend upon.
So the fight's not right there. I'm going to control myself. The fight is getting what am I doing and focus on Christ.
You know what helps? What helps? I'll be with you right just for a second, there, Lisa. I think what helped. You know what started helping me? The first easy verse: pray without ceasing. Man, oh man. Lately, you know, I just during the day, and I'm doing something, and all of a sudden I just start talking to the Lord. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to lose it now, and I know I'm going to blow it, and I'm going to lose it again, but man, a peace that comes over you. I love that peace that's inside of me. But what happens? I'll blow it somehow, some way, you know, and then it goes away, then I gotta get back to it again. So, Lisa.
I just think I'm gonna get all nervous.
Oh, don't just.
I think like we have all that in Christ, but the devil is not dead, and he wants to attack us in any and every way that he can. And we are saved, and we are going to heaven. But to rob us of our joy and our peace, and it's like Natalie at home. That's one way that he can get at her. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a guy at work. He just came back to work and he said, "I'm just being calm this year. I'm not going to blow up. I'm not going to do nothing." Now this guy, this is a guy here. Chad knows who I'm talking about. He has a short fuse. I mean, he has a short fuse. And so the other day, and my son-in-law, he pests this guy to no end, you know. He called him the other day before he came back to work and made up a story. And this guy just blowed it. And he calls the boss 6 times to try to get a hold of him. And he's calling the foremans, and he's just chewing them out. And then he finds out that it was just a story. But anyhow, he says the other day, he says, I'm being calm this year. I'm not going to do nothing wrong. You know, I'm not blowing up or nothing. And Roger, he gives him a handshake. Okay, I'll bet you my red Mountain Dew to your orange crush that you're going to blow. Okay, you got it. So he's there, you know, and they're trying to get him to blow up, you know, and it's not really working. So I get involved in it. And I said to him, I said, why in the world? We got to talking about politics. I said, why in the world did you vote for Obama? What's the matter with you? And did that set the fire? Did that ever get it going? I had to listen to him for almost a half an hour until he finally calmed down. And I said to Roger, He owes you an orphan. No, that's the truth, he says. That's not it. That was the truth. I didn't blow up. I said, you blow it up, buddy. So, you know, you can't do it alone. You just can't do it alone. Just like Lisa's saying, you can't do it alone. You know, one time you can, and you have to be alert at all times, because the devil, just like you're saying there, there she is. She's trying to probably cook, clean, or whatever. And you got two kids over here fighting. You got this kid wanting to go to the bathroom. You got this kid needing something to eat or something like that there. And it's just, you know, the devil's putting it out there constantly. And you just have to, all I can tell you is you just have to keep yourself, you know, up with praying without ceasing, and try to memorize verses, and, you know, because you don't know what's next coming. You don't know what the devil's bringing next. Go ahead.
I'm getting used to saying, I'm sorry, Lord. Because you're going to need to say it a lot. But I read the little booklet that Ken McDonald had here on prayer, and it was written by Spurgeon. Mm-hmm. If you could put it into practice, and I don't know if you, any of you picked up that booklet, but I can bring it and share it with you, because it was excellent.
Yeah, like I say, it's just one of them things.
It talks about asking, you know, we hear this verse preached about ask and you shall receive. But that's not true for everybody. If you're not asking, first you have to have that close relationship with the Lord. Because then you're going to be asking in His will. And then He will give you whatever you ask.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more on that there, because I've heard that for years and years. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. You know, seek, and ye shall find. And, you know, there's times where, I mean, I myself have, but I know people that said, you know, well, I've prayed for this person 33 years. 33 years. What is going on, you know? What have I messed up at, you know? Why isn't God answering my prayers? Just what you're saying there, you know. You know, I ask them same questions to myself, you know. There's people that I'm praying for right now that have bad cancer, and I want to see them healed. And, you know, what an uplift that would be just to myself, but also to them, if God healed them of that cancer. But I keep asking, you know, and I think, where am I messing up? You know, this is a God that created you and I. He knows this flesh. He knows that cancer that's in them people. And He spoke this earth, you know, He spoke, and this earth was just came. He just spoke. You know, He created it. All He has to do is speak and heal them. And Jesus walked in this earth and He healed these people. Where am I blowing it? You know, I don't know. I don't know. There, you know, there's questions that I have too. Believe me, I got lots of questions. But, you know, that's one of them. And no, that's right. That's good. You know, I got that book too. I just didn't get it read yet. I got so many books I'm reading right now. It's unreal. But yeah. So.
And getting to that point, just help me God right now. I'm going to lose it. You know, it's a simple prayer, but I really believe. I mean, there's been times through the day I've had a phone call with somebody, and I stop everything, I get down, and I cry to God. And it's been amazing at times how quickly He answered those prayers. It just comes through right then and there.
I'll get to you in a minute there, Mary. You have to, you know, if you get into a routine And something I know your routine gets busted up sometimes, but you know, there's where you got to die to yourself. Getting, you know, if you have to get up earlier than everybody else to have your Bible time, to have your prayer time and stuff, you've got to do it. You just got to make that body, you know, your body is so tired sometimes, you're hurting so bad sometimes, you know. And if you mess up somewhere along the line that you just don't have that consistency, if you take notice, you watch it up, you'll see that you're going to have more problems than you can shake a stick at sometimes, unless you keep up with that consistency with your Bible study, your prayer, and all that. You know, it's just a constant thing you have to do. Because, like I say, you skip it one time. I know. I live it. Miriam. Yeah, just putting your trust in it, you know, and just, you know, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Keep talking to God. You know, keep talking to the Lord. Just don't stop that, you know. Don't let nobody stop you from doing that. You know, if you're speaking out loud, just tell them you're speaking in tongues or something. Tough. They don't have to know it, you know, what you're talking about. But, you know, you can talk to God. You know, that there's nothing the matter with that whatsoever. No, you just have to, you know, you just, like I say, you got to work at it, you know, but you got to put your trust and faith in God here that he talks to you about. Any other questions or comments there on this? Nate, go ahead.
I think sometimes we think we're the only ones with the problem. We get so focused on us. And when we hear, I think maybe sharing with other Christians, you know, what's going on in your life, and then you hear what's going on in their life, it makes you realize you're not alone and you're not. And sometimes that helps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to share your burden with somebody else. I mean, I think there's some verses that talk about that, you know, sharing your burden, and you need to, you know, you need to do that. Okay, let's go on here then. He says, mortify therefore your members, you know, that are in Christ. Corby, let me ask you a question. When a tree has a dead limb or a diseased limb, what do you do with it? Why? So it doesn't affect
somebody else.
Uh-huh. No, that's right. So it doesn't affect the rest of the tree. That's the idea of it, you know. When you have a diseased limbs like that, you got to cut it out, and it's going to destroy that tree. Well, we have to do the same thing, you know. We have to do the same thing here, you know. We have to have this consciousness daily of this decision that we got to remove anything that supports and feeds these desires of these sins. And we got to depend upon the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's power to help us to get over these things. He says in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Stop giving in. And that's what we do. He says, but yield yourselves, present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Paul calls there for a determined commitment. You have to be determined. You have to make yourself sometimes do these things. You know, I have to make myself sit down to study for these lessons. Pastor, do you have to make yourself sit down sometimes? Mm-hmm. Ben, you're preaching. You just have to make yourself do it. Do you want to do it sometimes? No.
Not on a day like yesterday.
No. Exactly. Day like yesterday, I mean, I did a pile of stuff yesterday. Last night when I walked in, I could hardly put one foot in front of the other. My back was killing me. I was bending and everything else. My shoulders, you know, everything. The devil knows how to hammer it to you, buddy. I mean, everything. My shoulders, my back, my legs, everything. Did I want to sit down to do this lesson? Or to go over it? I needed to go back over it. And I actually, after having a Bible study in my computer for years and years and years, I finally figured out how to copy off verses that I don't have to ask you guys to read them to me all the time. I know how to copy and paste now, finally. Wow! Unreal! I told you I was dumber than a stick, but you know it gets me. And there's other things that I I'm going to be bringing to you when we get to the lessons that I can't believe that I finally got it. I finally put it together. But anyhow, so you know we have to be determined. We have to make a commitment to this that we're going to do these things. I'm not saying that it's easy. I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying that that's what Paul here is trying to show out. That's what the Word of God is trying to show out here to us. Romans 7:5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. He says, we're dead to that law. That law said, thou shalt not. And what does that member want to do? We want to do it because it says, thou shalt not. But we're dead to that law now because we gave our life to Christ. That law means nothing. You know, it's gone. It's dead. You know, and so we're not to give in to them things. Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And that's that inward struggle that you have. That's that inward struggle that you have all the time. And James 4:1 says, from whence comes wars? That's conflicts and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? That lust is that desire. That desire you have, and that's that desire for pleasure, you see, and that's what this old fleshly nature is looking for. So he says we're to destroy, we're to get rid of these here, to put to death these members which are upon the earth. And then he goes on here and he says some of these members, some of these things that we're to put to death, fornication. He says fornication. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies. Mark 7:22. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They defile the man. These evil thoughts that you have, you know, these evil things that go through your mind. And I'm a man, but, you know, men, I think, are worse than women for all kinds of crazy thoughts that are going through your mind. I'm not saying that you women aren't, but I know from being a man that, you know, I have all kinds of thoughts. And when I get in here to, like in verse 8, you know, somebody does something to me, oh boy, the evil thoughts just start coming, you know. How am I going to get even with them? It's dead. Get rid of it. Mortify it. And as verse 8 says there, what really taught me was put it off. You're going to get sick of me hearing me say put it off when we get there, but we're to put it off. We're to get rid of it. You know, we're to get rid of all these things, you know. Galatians 5:19, not the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adulteries, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emancipations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, Paul stresses that. You know, all these different aspects, all these different things. The next one there he has, inordinate affliction. Let me see. Yeah, inordinate affliction. What do you think that is? Oh, affection. Yes, I'm sorry. Straighten me out, honey. Exactly right. Romans 1:26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. They're to get rid of it. Look how it is spreading through just this country today. They can say what they want about the Muslims, but you know what they do? Did you hear what they do with if they find somebody that's a lesbian or homosexual? They'll push them off of a building or whatever. They get rid of them. How would you like to see that happen here in the United States? Ho, ho, ho. We couldn't do something like that. That would be terrible.
I think you have to seek God's guidance. There's some people that and it's a different sin that's involved, but I know some people that I'm friends with and I have respect for, but they have completely cut off and isolated themselves from family members. I mean, immediate family members. because they disagree with some things in their lives. And I think that's wrong. You know, we don't want to endorse the sin, but at the same time, we need to be ministers of Jesus Christ. Jesus ain't a publican. So, as far as bringing them into your home, you just need to pray and see what God wants you to do on that. It can be a teaching moment for your children. That, yeah, we still love this person in spite of what they're doing and the sin that they're involved in. But we also recognize that it is sin. We ought not to do that. I think we're Christians too many times are too quick to just shelter ourselves and cut us off from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's going to hell. And in part of it, we're responsible because we have just said, oh, we can't get near that. We can't be defiled by that. Well, I'm not going to be defiled as long as I don't do it. And how else are they to be brought to Jesus Christ if we don't in some way reach out to them?
I mean, sin. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you handle other people you know that maybe you know that's drinking a case of beer a day or something like that there, you know? What do you do with them? You know, someone that's into something else, you know, what do you do with them? You know, sin. I mean, gay and lesbians, it's just sin. It's a sin. Doesn't matter what it is. And the pastor's right. We're to try to win them somehow, if we can.
I guess where you draw the line on this, you're not bringing that into this house. You're welcome here. And even if there is a partner, that there would be occasions probably when you should welcome your partner as well, but you don't allow them then to commit their sin while in your house. It's like, you know, I don't want anybody smoking in my house, but smokers come to my house. And I don't know what anybody drink in my house, but people who drink come to my house. The other thing is, when I go to their house, I don't feel that I can tell them what they can do with their home. I want them to respect my home, so I need to then respect their home as well, even though I don't agree with them.
I'll close with this. I know a family that there's a member of the family that is a lesbian. And the family, especially the mother and dad, have really rejected this and fought against this. Now, the sister of the family says, you may come to my house anytime that you want to. My house is open to you. But you do not kiss my kids. You do not put your arms around them or anything like that there. This is my house. You know, you're going to respect the things that I have at my house. And they get along really good. And she just respects their, and she does, you know, she comes to their house because of it. So, you know, maybe something there someday, you know, will win her back. She knows the Word of God. She knows the Bible. Don't get me wrong on that. And she knows that it's wrong what she's doing. So, okay, we got to stop there. Father, we thank you, praise you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for just the different aspects of it. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just helping us here today. I wasn't expecting any of this here, and you just brought it here, and I thank you and praise you for it. Guide us throughout this day now. Be with us to the service to follow and help the pastor with his message there, Father, that it brings honor and glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.